In the name of Jesus, amen. The Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. But the young man Luther had a hard time with that, because as he reflected a great deal on the meaning of life, he was restless in his life for a sense of purpose, as young people often are, high school students, college students, maybe just all of us. Luther was especially anxious to know how he stood in the eyes of God, something that certainly we do not think about as much as we should these days. He found very little fulfillment on becoming a lawyer, so he switched his major and he went into the monastery and became an Augustinian friar. And there he spent many years being a diligent friar. The stories of his self-inflicted wounds and the torments that he tormented himself with are quite legendary. So many hours he spent in the confessional, confessing his sins, wrestling with his conscience, that the father confessor finally say, "Look, Martin, go. I'm sending you away." But how often have we wondered the same thoughts, even though it's 500 plus years later? Why am I here? Not just in church, but even on this earth. What is the point of anything? How many restless days and nights have you spent worrying about your career path, or your job security, or the state of the nation, or the state of your family, or racial tension, or the possibility of the unknown flight path of COVID-19? And then your children and the world in which they are inheriting, and yet at the same time they are forming. How many times do you find yourself in a hurry to get through the day, all anxious and already anxious for tomorrow, and yet at the same time you're frightened by what tomorrow will bring you? And so, like riding an exercise bike, you work and you sweat and you sweat and you push and you work and you look down and you see, wow, I've moved nowhere. Nowhere. But I have burned a lot of calories. Or worse, on the other side of the spectrum, everything in your life is going wonderful, swimmingly. You have the world at your fingertips on a string, and you start to feel like, man, really, I have life under control. Only to discover that when things are said and things are done, that, well, not so much. And you know what? Things actually don't last forever, and they break and they fall apart. And in the end, I can't take really much, if anything, with me. Sadly, enough people, they never see through their own charade. And they fool themselves until it is far too late. For this indeed was the case with the Jews of Jesus' day. The people, the very people, these Jews should have known better. As St. Paul reminds us in the Roman epistle, they had advantages, if you will. And what were they? Well, they had the word of the Lord. They had the word of the prophets, and they had the temple. They had the priesthood. They had the sacrifices. They had the liturgy of God. They had the promised Messiah. And all of it was pointing to their Sabbath rest in Christ, who would give meaning and purpose and blessing to the people of Israel, that they might become a blessing and a light and a revelation to the Gentile nations. Granted, many Jews of Jesus' day did believe in him. you know some of them. Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna, Peter, James, John, and eventually a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus. You know him to be St. Paul. For while Scripture said, it is true, salvation began with the Jews. But far and away, the majority turned their backs on that very salvation. Instead of boasting in Christ and His gifts, they boasted in themselves and what they could achieve. And so you hear them say, "We are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? I'm already free." How quickly the flesh forgets, right? Excuse me. 400 years in Egyptian slavery. Slavery in Assyria. Slavery in Babylon. Slavery under Roman occupation. Does that ring a bell? Anyone? And as they forgot, we forget. For we often think, in our pride, that we are emancipated, that we are these autonomous, that is literally law unto ourselves, individuals who don't really need anyone, especially not God. For we are the offspring of the American progressive dream, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. You realize that this idea of freedom is enshrined and idolized in our country. In this ever-growing technological revolution that we are experiencing, we have literally the world at our fingertips. There is not really that much that we cannot not do by simply using a smartphone these days. I mean, even with a little bit of genetic manipulation, you can kind of design your own family if you got enough money. But you have not been slaves to anyone, right? This is, of course, in spite of the clocks that wake you up for the things that you need to do. And if you're in school, the exams that you have to take, because no one else is going to take them for you, or they shouldn't. And the schedules. Are we not slaves to our schedules? These things rival anything that the Egyptians had back in the day in Egypt. So the Jews of yesteryears forgot, and so we are tempted to forget as well, to deny or to ignore our fallen flesh has been enslaved by our sin and kept enthralled by Satan, sin, and death. And that we are trapped in this inescapable reality of our mortality and, yes, our eventual death. This is why Jesus responds to the Jews when they assert their autonomous freedom. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." See, we wrongly imagine that freedom is being able to do whatever we want to do, mind you, without hurting anyone, which is a loaded phrase in and of itself. The truth is, that sort of freedom, when you truly analyze it, is actually slavery and bondage to sin. Because if you think that the Reformation gospel means that freedom is your freedom from all obedience and all authority, but your own conscience and your own desires and your own will, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And the tyrant who rules you wears your own flesh. I mean, it's not like you could just quit sinning, right? I mean, as if there was a button somewhere on you where I could push it and it would, then you would stop sinning. I mean, I've tried that with my kids and it's like, there's stop. There's no button. You can't turn it off. With that means that apart from Christ, we can do nothing but sin and then die. Because the truth is, we were a slave to begin with. We were born without true fear, love, and trust in God, as our confessions teach us. A slave to sin, death, and the power of the devil. And as a slave, Jesus says, he does not remain in the house forever. In this body and life, we all receive the gifts of God, both slaves and children alike, right? So we hear elsewhere, the sun shines on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the good and the wicked. So as we confess in the small catechism with the Lord's Prayer, on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, we grant that God gives daily bread even to wicked people. So, to that extent, everyone is in the house for now. But if you remain a slave to your sin, if you try to live and confess faith apart from Christ and His church, the one who sets you free, then you will not remain in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, there is and will be a day of judgment. And Luther was very well aware of this. And in all of his tireless efforts in the monastic life, that day of judgment hovered over him like a huge rain cloud. The day of wrath and punishment was enough to frighten his heart like a leaf that is blown around in the coming of winter. And on the brink of despair, Luther drove himself into the ground, tormented by this angry and wrathful judge. He could not escape the dread that he felt and realized by his own sin, his own depravity, and the judgment that God was bringing against him. But as you should know, this was not the end of Martin Luther. For even though he quelled, he feared in the monastery, his Heavenly Father was looking upon him with grace and mercy and compassion, as he has done for you as well. So the Lord sent to Martin Luther a minister of his word, to comfort Luther's frightened heart and soul with the salve of the gospel. His wise and godly confessor was a man by the name of Johannes von Staupitz. And even though Johannes von Staupitz did not live long enough to see the Reformation develop throughout the 16th century, he was instrumental in the Reformation in that he pointed Luther to the only place that he would find peace, where his heart, restless as it was, would be calm. So Johannes von Staupitz would tell Luther often, Luther, receive the gospel. Receive the gospel. That's the truly evangelical word of the Reformation. For the Lord your God has desired that he look to you and look upon you in mercy and forgiveness. It doesn't matter if you feel like it. It doesn't matter whether you think you are worthy. I mean, we will never be worthy of it. But it's all by grace and unmerited that you are saved. Grace is literally the charity of God in spite of our feelings and our opinions and the thoughts of our sins and our weaknesses. That in spite of all that, God has forgiven us in His Son, Jesus Christ alone. Receive the gospel, Johannes von Salvus would tell Luther. Seek the forgiveness of sins, Luther. Seek the forgiveness of sins. Stop trying to earn the mercy of God, for Pete's sake, and simply receive the gift that I have given you. For you must know, Luther and the rest of us, the mercy of God is simply in the gift of the Word. The gift that is freely given to you in Christ Jesus. The gift that is found in Christ Jesus alone, and the gift that He offered to the Jews that day when He was speaking to them. What does He say? If you continue, that is literally abide in My Word, He declares. Literally, if you cling to Me alone, then you will know the truth. And in knowing the truth, you will have the forgiveness of sins, and therefore you will be set free. Free from everything. Free from danger, free from sword, free from death. Thus, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. It's a quite pregnant phrase, is it not? Because no longer must you and I search for meaning and identity and purpose in the world and in our life. You don't find yourself in life. People talk about that all the time. They find themselves. You don't find yourself in life. No, you are found in the gospel. And having been found in the gospel in Jesus Christ, that gospel gives concrete shape to your life. So no longer must you then worry about what God thinks about you. Instead, you know that you are His child, to live in His house forever. For such is the comfort, the robust comfort of the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," as based upon Psalm 46. Because your body and your life is found in a fortress. Not a brick-and-mortar castle church, but rather the one Christian and or one holy Christian or Catholic church. That is where you are baptized. That is where you are granted the peace of His absolution through His called servant. And that is where you are fed the supper of His body and blood. And you do all of this by faith and not by sight. One day it will be by sight as you eat the final feast in the resurrection. Now you must know that it wasn't all of a sudden that when Johannes von Salvus told Martin Luther, receive the gospel, Martin Luther was like, okay, and then off went the Reformation. That's not how it happened. It wasn't all of a sudden that Luther embraced Johannes von Salvus' pastoral counsel. It took him years. But when he finally did, he writes about it in a most beautiful way, in the fact that it was as the heavens had opened and he collapsed into the hands of a merciful and heavenly Father. That the storm clouds of judgment upon his body and soul had ceased. And his restless heart found peace in Jesus Christ. You see, the purpose and meaning of Luther's life, as well as yours and mine, is only finally clear in the gospel. Because there was nothing abstract, there was nothing intellectual or purely historical about the Reformation. It ultimately began with Martin Luther's restless heart, desperately searching for meaning and purpose in this life and peace and rest. And it continued because he found peace in Jesus Christ. Despite all the numerous trials and tribulations that he experienced in that turbulent 16th century, Nonetheless, because of that peace of the gospel, he was able to live and to work, and then finally to die with a peaceful conscience in Christ. And so the rest that Luther received in the gospel is the same rest that you receive in the gospel today. By faith in the gospel, you look forward to that great day when you will rest in peace with Christ. And already here and now, in a mysterious way, you find that peace and that rest in the liturgy of Christ, that those familiar words, in the preaching of His holy word, and in that holy sacrament that you know so well for the forgiveness of your sins. For resting securely in Christ Jesus, you live and you work with a peaceful conscience. For whatever you are called to do in this life, whatever you are doing in life that God has called you to do, wherever God has put you to do that called work, in this vast expanse that we call earth, He gives you peace. Because He created you and called you by His word to live there and to do that work, and then one day to live with Him eternally in His everlasting kingdom. So day by day, you are granted a share in the security of those beautiful words of the psalmist. And that is, in spite of your worries and fears and the insanity of the world in which you live, 2020. And maybe 2021 or longer. For the Son of God, as the psalmist says, is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, you have no fear. And you have no fear even in the face of the fact that if the earth were to open up and to swallow you, you would not be afraid. And even if the ginormous... Even if, that's not a word I heard, ginormous, but even if these very large mountains were to fall down upon you, you would not be afraid. Why? Because as a baptized child of God who receives His gifts daily and in faith, you are a son, a daughter in the house of the Lord forever. You are in the midst of the everlasting city of God by faith, even though you cannot see it with your mortal eyes. For the Lord of hosts is with you. He calms your restless heart with peace. You know the way, for Christ has revealed to you the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And just as you have done many times before, here at this altar of Christ, so also in paradise shall you do the same. As you join with all believers in Christ, with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven, sharing in that great victory feast of the Lamb, which shall have no end. In the name of Jesus, amen.